So it's day one in our summer series. We've been talking back and forth on how to kind of navigate our way through what is a very slow couple of, well, almost a month and a half maybe of football news. So today for the summer series, we're going to break down position groups for the rest of June, and then probably we'll do some, we'll look at the rest of the NFC East once July gets here. So today we'll start with the defensive line. You know the fellas, we do it every Monday, so there's no need for introductions. Let's get right into it. The big news, we've seen this, I guess that Washington will take off, will listen to offers on Chase Young. It feels like it would have to be some kind of ridiculous offer for the Commanders to move Young. They need him to be successful this year. They need a good year. George, what would it take? What would the offer for you be for Chase Young?
It has to be a large package, man. So I think with Chase Young, the biggest appeal for him is that he's only 23 years old, right? Obviously, he's had his injury history and we're kind of concerned about his production. You know, he hasn't produced in about a year and a half now, but the fact that he is that pedigree guy from Ohio State, that he has a physical attributes, that he's large, that he has, you know, he has the ability to take over a game. You can't let that walk out the door. You know, we'll talk about this as well. Like the fifth year option, I like what they're doing and kind of incentivizing him and kind of trying to burn a little, you know, get some fire underneath him to get him going. But that is kind of a risky business because we are going to be looking at Montez Sweat next year. In regard to answer your question, it has to be at least a first round pick plus some. Because I think when you get this, when the number two overall selection, he's going to be someone that you build around. Like, I understand he's a one-year rental, so his actual rate is kind of low on the market right now. But in regard from the Commanders, he's more valuable to the Commanders than anybody else right now. We need to kind of put him on our team and see how he can produce. And, you know, the whole point of the first-round selection is that you want to pick high-upside prospects, right? And to me, Chase Young is one of the highest ones you can get. We have to kind of see where he is, kind of walk that through before we let him go. So at least a first-round selection plus some, and maybe a second-rounder as well. And that's just me having a high price tag. I don't know if you guys agree with that or disagree with that.
I think they'd be lucky if they got a second-round pick for Chase Young.
I know.
And the crazy thing, George, I think – if I'm the GM, if I'm the head coach of the Commanders, there's almost virtually no package I'm willing to take because I need them to be really good.
Exactly.
If I'm the GM of the Commanders, I'm thinking long and hard about taking the second round pick and just, you know, hoping that we get the same kind of production from the ends that we got last year when he wasn't here. Adam, walk us back. This was the second overall pick 4 years ago. What went wrong here?
You know, I think we have to remember prior to the injury too, you know, he really wasn't having a great impact on a lot of games, and a lot of people were questioning if his head was there, if he's just going off script. And from everything I'm hearing, that's the problem. You know, like he's not within the system too much. I think he tries to freelance. And the consistent thing I keep hearing is this like stutter step that he keeps doing. It's just labored. And it's delaying him really getting to the quarterback. And I think what they keep saying is they've trying to coach that out of him, or, you know, trying to actually, you know, speed it up for him. So that's a big issue. You know, we're talking about second overall pick, still dealing with that in year three, but he's dealing with that and, you know, recovering simultaneously. So you're always going to have, you know, a setback in growth anytime they're focusing, you know, most of their effort on rehabbing. So I think he'll have the opportunity this summer. I don't think anything's going to happen now. I think everyone needs to understand with new ownership coming. Number one, I think he wasn't given the fifth-year option because I think Curl's going to get that money. I think Curl's just going to be like John Allen, Terry McLaurin. I think he's been patient, he's been cool, and just by him, you know, really participating in position drills for the most part, there's a conversation, but they can't do anything to ownership changes, you know. And saying that, I think you get to August, I think we're going to get a final word mid-August. I think that's the time, if there's any kind of potential trade or anything, that's what it will be, because I really think that they're going to bring somebody in. I'm not saying they're going to fire Mayhew and these other guys, but I think they're going to bring in some kind of de facto GM, maybe just an observer early on. That could change in midseason. They let go of Mayhew midseason, but I really expect that to happen. So once they come, maybe evaluate Chase Young, I don't know if they're going to try him out in the preseason. I don't know if that's wise. If I'm them, I'm not really doing that. I think I want to see what he's doing in the scrimmage with Baltimore. I think you can get a lot out of that day to see what he looks like. But in the end, I've been saying this. I think Curl gets the deal, and it's going to be between Sweat and Young. And I think Sweat can get that contract if he gets 10 sacks, really good impact. But I think Young, we're talking about an all-pro year, because I think there's whispers he's not on the same page with Ron Rivera mentally with a lot of things. So I think you have to see like a 15 sack plus season for him to be back. Because I personally, I think he'd have to have that plus more, taking more of a leadership role, because that C is coming off his chest. He's not going to be, you know, on a captain this year. So again, that's just my guess. I don't say it's going to happen. But I think all those things coupled together, it's not really boding well for him being here next year. So I think if a team is going to give a real package for him, they're going to want to see a couple games. So I think it'll be closer to the trade deadline than, you know, this summer.
And George, I mean, follow up on what Adam says, if somebody's still willing to trade for Young come the trade deadline, it's probably because he's having a good year. And then, so I guess to your original point, George, he's not more valuable to anybody than he is to this team right here. Because if he's playing well come the deadline, you would assume that the defense is playing well. And if the defense is playing well, you'd assume they'd be winning football games. So it's an interesting thing they've got themselves mixed up in. I thought it was interesting that Montez Sweat said in an interview the other day, you know, Deron Payne showed us how to get the bag, right? Like, if you play well, these guys here will reward you.
Right.
So let's go get that done. And I think that's interesting. It'll be an interesting dynamic as they change ownership, because that has been what they've done here since Ron Rivera came, is work your butt off, be a Commander's guy first, you know, first in, first out, kind of guy, last out type of deal, and we will pay you. And so far, they have ponied up when guys performed well. I guess the next step in the discussion, George, becomes, I think personally, Sweat's got a better chance of having that breakout year than Chase does. Do you?
I do. So Montez Sweat has been the more consistent player of the two, and he's been around. Like, if you kind of hear, you know, keep your ear to the ground, kind of listen to all the beat reporters, they're talking about the team wants Montez Sweat. They keep talking about potentially giving him that long-term deal. So they are interested in him. He basically, you know, he had 8 sacks last year, which is he's on the brink. He had 8 sacks last year. He had a 9-sack.
The pressure rate is really high, right, George?
It is pretty high. So let me take a look. He had 28 QB hits last year, and I believe he had 31 QB pressures, which is pretty damn high as well. It actually led the team last year. Montez Sweat, man, when you see him just walking around, he is that physical specimen. He looks like he can take over a game. And, you know, at 26 years old, I think he has a high upside potential. He had 46 tackles last year. He had 28 QB hits, like I mentioned before, and 14 tackles for loss. So he's on the brink. Like, someone said it actually recently. I mean, physical stature, they look different, but he's kind of like that Preston Smith. Like he's producing right. slowly, yeah. And he's a high floor guy. And Preston Smith still ascended when he went to the Packers afterwards. So I do think that Montez Sweat does have that upside. But I'm kind of curious how it's going to play out. Going back to Adam's point, like, that is a different, that's an interesting dynamic, right? Like Chase Young, I do believe there is some friction between the coaching and him. I do think that Ron Rivera and him have a different vision on what they want in the future. I've actually heard some of that stuff, like this through the grapevines, through people that I interact with. But the fact that the matter is that the players on the team, they do like Chase Young. I think he is that energetic, that fire starter player as well. So, I don't know. Like, I think there is a world where both of them could potentially return, but they really do got to produce. And I think having those two defensive ends, like, you know, having a pass rush in this league is of the utmost importance. So they definitely got to keep, you know, keep at least one of them. So see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to, I talk with G from the shop on Twitter all the time about various Commanders things. And he was bringing up that same point. Like, they could both have good years and both be back. And while it feels unlikely, I do think there's a world where they both ball out, they give Sweat a big contract this year and slap the franchise tag on Chase Young next year. And that, to me, is the perfect way for things to work out, simply because if I'm going to pay Chase Young, I'd like to see, even if he has a big year this year, I'd like, to see it again.
I like that.
Like with Daron Payne, it felt like that big year was coming, right? And that he was slowly getting better every year. And so I don't think, like, I didn't need to see it again from him, even though it was kind of the first year where he had that big breakout season. With Chase, if he does it, that's great. I'd like to see it again because, you know, when and I get people love Chase Young, so they don't want to hear bad things about Chase Young. It's a very interesting thing. Maybe it's because he's from the area. But you go back to that rookie of the year for the defense, you know, his rookie year, that defensive rookie of the year. I mean, go back and think about all the quarterbacks that he was hitting that year. I mean, it was the Ben DiNucci's of the world, right? Like, it was not, it was almost like a de facto defensive rookie of the year because there was really nobody else to give it to.
That's a fair assessment.
And that's the other interesting thing, George, is you brought up their size. I was having this conversation on Twitter the other day. So I went and looked. I mean, they're basically, at least at the combine, the same guy, 6'5", 260. In fact, I think Chase Young was 5 pounds heavier when they got to the combine. The thing is, Chase didn't test. Mm-hmm. So you don't have any of those numbers. I mean, people guessed at what the 40 would look like. It's interesting because maybe it's just because the production hasn't been there that I've just kind of let Chase slowly get out of my mind as far as what the potential was supposed to be. Because to me, you mentioned the higher floor, George. I still think that the ceiling might even be higher for Sweat if he could put it together. So I think very interesting.
Yeah, I want to throw it over to Adam in a second. That's where I think you and I might disagree, because I think Montez Sweat has the higher floor. He has produced. We've seen it. He's consistent, which we like. We want consistency in our players. Chase Young was supposed to be that guy. I think that's like the dude, and I think that's why people are down on him, right? I think people want him to have that high upside. He was supposed to be better than the Bosa brothers coming out. He was supposed to be a 15 sack kind of guy, 16 sack kind of guy, taking over games kind of guy. Like honestly, like a Micah Parsons explosive impact player. And we're not seeing that from him. And I think that's where that critique is coming from. People are like, you know, hang on and see where he goes with this. And some people are like, hey, he's a bust. He's never going to get back to that because of his knee. So like, that's the intriguing part for me. And Doug, I love what you said. Like, even if Chase Young does have an impactful year, maybe it is wise to just kind of hit the franchise tag on him and not give him a large contract, because we don't know where it's going to go from there. He should be consistently producing. He should be a game changer. We haven't seen that yet.
Adam, did he just get overranked? I mean, did he, like, we talked about that rookie of the year season, right? Was he at Ohio State beating up on poor right left tackles in the Big Ten? I mean, was he overvalued, or he just hadn't put it together in the league? Because he has not been George the Boses, to your point, George. And I'm with you. I think that's what people thought.
He did have some bad tape, though. You know, it wasn't all, you know, peaches and cream with him. You know, that's why some were questioning, you know, should he go that early, maybe a couple picks back. But I think it's part of the, you know, the need and the demand that, you know, he was available. I think Washington was just hoping, you know, he'll be the next great one. Personally, I like Young. I don't see it, though. I don't think he's going to be a premier, you know, top five pass rusher in the league. I think Sweat, he won't either, but I think he's right outside of that. I think you could see Sweat being in that top 10 conversation, you know, 6-7 ranked in time, because he's consistent. I think you have to remember with Sweat, you know, that year, the COVID year, then he broke his jaw. You know, if that doesn't happen, you know, I know we could say that with everything, but those are kind of freak things. That's not durability issues. You know, you get those, I think it was 6-7 games back. He was producing pressures, sacks. So I think if that happened, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation probably right now. Sweat would probably be in line to get a deal. Also, you know, he was supposed to be a top 15 player. You know, the misdiagnosed heart issue at the combine really made him slip. So I think, you know, you're talking about Young and him. It's easy to compare Young being a top, you know, number two overall pick, and Sweat being that back round one and guy. But in the end, I think if you're looking at, you know, what are you trying to do philosophical with Del Rio, to me would make sense. It's Sweat, because if you're having issues in year three, injury or not, with, you know, Young really getting pro on, you know, on board with exactly what you want to do, you don't overpay him. You don't pay him top five money. And that's what he's looking at. You know, Sweat, it'll be high. I think it'll be a little less than, you know, what it would be for Sweat, for Young. But I think it just makes a lot more sense, you know, going into next year, next draft, you have Crow locked up, you get Sweat knocked up. you go into that draft, it doesn't even have to be round one, you know, round two. See what you have in KJ Henry this year. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's instantly, you know, comes in starts. But I think, you know, a combination of him and others, you know, that might be something to explore. But I think, because a lot of people I talked to at Clemson, I reached out to as many people as I could find in the SEC, and they're like, I'm telling you, this guy has just underperformed. Because, you know, watching his tape, he was a five-star prospect coming out of high school. You know, he just really hasn't taken that next jump. You know, under Coach Z and Jack Del Rio, you know, we could see, I definitely think one of these guys are going to, you know, step up. And I think Henry, class act, perfect one to do it. So I think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to see Young, you know, playing 70-80% of the snaps this year. I think it could be definitely, you know, a big split for at least half the year, because this is not just the ACL tear, this is a patella tendon. You know, this takes a lot of time. You know, I wrote an article comparing him and Clowney, you know, with their injuries. And, you know, although Clowney had microfracture surgery in his rookie year, you know, these things linger for a couple years. So Young, in my opinion, he's in a bad spot right now to get a long-term, you know, huge payday. I think, you know, it makes the most sense if they can try to move him before the trade deadline. But like you said, if he's playing really well, you're not going to want to do it. If he's not playing that well, what are we talking about here? You know, because we'll get a third comp pick for him. Maybe a team says we'll give you a third and a conditional third next year based on playing time. So you have to weigh that. So for me right now, I think that Young is really going to have to do a lot to really endure himself to coaches, because it just keeps hearing, you know, these whispers that they like his explosion. They like what he's seeing, but there's no talk of how he's progressing in the system. But I continually hear that with Sweat. So, you know, take it for what you will.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I will use that as a segue, Adam. You brought up KJ Henry, and we've talked about him on the show several times. Because I'm with you. I think the talent level is there. As far as production, it's interesting. He's a lot like Montez Sweat. If I'm not mistaken, his pressure rate, KJ Henry, like top five in the nation last year, just didn't get home a lot. But here's the thing. I've got the depth chart up, and maybe this is the easiest way to get into it. I was thinking about, we were talking about KJ Henry. You said playing time. And when I talked to Ben Stanard the other day, he brought up a great point. He was like, look at the depth chart and figure out how he gets on the field. Yeah. Because they like James Smith-Williams,
right?
Who I think is really good and a great run defender. I like Casey Tuhill. Now, you said, Adam, maybe you weren't as high on Tuhill, but I thought when given opportunities, he was productive last year. Yep. You've got F.A. Obata, which we know the team likes. And then William Bradley King, I doubt, makes the team.
Right.
But, I mean, that's three guys right there ahead on the depth chart, not even including Chase Young.
I'd say you have to keep in mind they moved up to get KJ Henry. So he didn't just fall in their lap. They thought enough of him to move up. So, you know, we could talk about Shaka Tonys of the world and what's going on, but that was a late seven-round pick. They moved up to get KJ Henry. So I do see a world where he beats out Tuhill, because exactly, there's not going to be enough to go around. But I see him having a good camp, beating out Tuhill, and, you know, he'll be in the rotation. But primarily, I think, you know, James Smith-Williams, he's the ideal depth guy. You know, he's in his final year, just like every single of the defensive end. So they're going to keep their playmakers. But Tuhill, I don't think that there's any threat to, you know, cut him. He's going to go anywhere else. I think you can get him back just as easily. So I think that they'll, you know, with Young, Henry, James Smith-Williams, I think you'll see, you know, a little rotation with them. But I think you're going to see Montez Sweat with a lot more reps than Chase Young and the others. But I think with KJ Henry, the questions remain, you know, how is he going to do against the run on the next level? Because I think there's definitely some questions there, because, you know, he's got some nice pass rush move. He's got really a nice sweet spin move, but it got him in trouble sometimes against the run when, you know, they tried to block him low. So I think he has something you got to watch out for. But I think that in my world, that I just don't think Tuhill is popping enough to really convince everyone. Again, Bradley King, too, he's not going to make the team. And even, you know, Andre Jones Jr., I think he makes the team because, like I said, I keep hearing over and over, you know, outside linebacker. That's predominantly what he played at Louisiana. You know, he did play defensive end, but that they have a vision. So, you know, we talk about the linebackers. You know, I think, you know, that's a guy to look out there, although they'll lift him at defensive end. But to me, it's a really interesting battle along that side for, you know, behind Chase Young.
Did you see today, this is a little off topic, but it looks like Kaliki Hudson is playing middle linebacker.
Heard whispers about that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. They like him. They like him a lot, and they're going to give him the opportunity in preseason to, you know, to call the signals. So that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, because I was a huge fan of his when he came out in Michigan, and it felt like he was perfect for that. He played, they called it Viper at Michigan. Right. We call it the Buffalo Nickel here. And he never got those snaps, and I was always surprised by that. And they worked him in a little bit at linebacker on the, you know, I think it was weak side they had him at. I didn't think that he fit very well there. I was surprised. Interesting. And we've been talking about kind of how the linebacker position has evolved, and that the middle linebacker, you know, there's no more Ray Lewis middle linebackers. They've all got to be safety converts that can, right, that can fly around the field. Will be interesting to see if that's where he ends up at, because I did not see that one. I didn't have that on my bingo card, as they say. Let's get into the D tackles here on the line. It's interesting. It's wild how much play Ridgeway got last year. I'm assuming that the Cowboys are upset that they put him out there to be even, because I liked him coming out. I was surprised when they made that move. But Arian Mathis comes back last year, and Adam, I really can't even believe I'm saying this. The two D tackles, Allen and Payne, averaged almost 90% of snaps during games. The fact that they didn't get hurt at that level, I remember talking to Chris Baker, and he was like, somebody's going to get hurt. Like, you cannot play that many percentage of the snaps. They did. You like Ridgeway or Mathis is that next guy in?
I like Mathis, but again, I need to see more because, you know, he's still recovering. But we have to remember, he really had one good year at Alabama. You know, prior to his last season, it was very mediocre at best. But he had a really good supporting cast his last year and really got to the quarterback. You know, that's something he does. So he's not just an occupier up front. You know, he's a guy that can get to the quarterback. I would like to see him worked in more. I said temper expectations, even though his injury happened really early last year, you know. And then Ridgeway, I'm hearing I think it was a bicep or something he's dealing with right now. So, you know, that's something that can linger. So, you know, watch for that going in. But I don't know, to be honest with you, that the depth behind those two, I want to see them playing closer to, you know, 70-something% of the snap. So I'm hoping they're not done. I'm hoping they're still going to look at maybe an offensive tackle, maybe another defensive tackle, just even to bring in like a veteran. Because, you know, we see every year, you know, late in the summertime, you know, they usually bring in a veteran, somebody to really shake things up. I'm hoping to see that because, I don't know, I'm not really sold at the depth right now, because if you have Allen or Payne go down for, you know, even a couple games, you know, that could be a real big issue for them.
It looks like pictures from camp that Fedarian has slimmed down a little bit. And we had expected that he would be like the replacement run stuffer in the middle. But maybe the defense, maybe that's not what they're looking for in D tackles anymore, right, George. Maybe they're also like as everything gets faster and more nimble, maybe this idea of the old 320-pound nose is not what they want anymore, and they're going to keep getting a little smaller at the D tackle position, sending them at the quarterback. Where do you think that lines up?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting because we saw that Daron Payne's kind of losing weight as well, and we saw the philosophy change over time as well, right? Like over the past couple of years, I think maybe Jack Del Rio's first year, and definitely going back to the Gruden days, they played a two-gap system before where they basically had these big monster defensive tackles that would basically, you know, just try to just absorb the offensive linemen so the linebackers could get upfield and basically make the tackle. But over the past couple of years, they moved to a one gap system where, like, you know, the philosophy is, you know, you basically make the tackle on the way to the quarterback. That's kind of the philosophy moving forward. So, you know, Daron Payne, you know, he definitely thrived as opposed to being a more of a zero tech to more getting upfield, and got 11.5 sacks last year. So we're starting to see that development. And I love the depth. I know that maybe me and Adam disagree there. I like the fact that Ridgeway's, you know, is another defensive tackle in the mix, and we have Phil Mathis as well. Mathis, we haven't seen him actually play yet, so we do want to see some more impact there. But you got to trust those. I have high respect for Alabama defensive linemen. Maybe it's the bias with Payne and Allen over there, but I think there is some depth there, and I think it'll be interesting to see. We talked about it in our group chat. I'm kind of confident in our defensive line depth, as well as our defensive back depth. I think linebacker is still something that I'm concerned about. So I'm curious who's, like, for me, what I'll be watching in training camp and preseason is definitely, who's going to be getting more of that front end, high end rotation. Is it going to be Mathis or is it going to be Ridgeway? Yeah. And I love the whole Henry talk conversation as well, because I think there's higher upside with there. Like, you know, we know Obad is a pretty steady player there. Tuil's pretty steady player there. But what are we really trying to do? We're trying to build a program that's sustainable, right? Obad is 30 years old. We don't want him to be our starting. He's on a 1-year contract anyway. So we want to see KJ Henry have some impact there. So I think they're trying to generate chaos and have our defensive backs create some turnovers. That's what they're trying to do.
I'm looking here at the defensive tackle list. It's John Ridgeway, Benning Patao, Deron Payne, Fedarian Mathis, David Bada, Jonathan Allen, and Abdullah Anderson. To your point earlier, Adam, there is not, after those two guys that we talked about, those four D tackles, there's not much behind.
Right. And, you know, like George made the perfect point. I think we're going to see them mix it up. Like a lot of those five-man fronts, I think, can, you know, involve extra defensive ends, not necessarily defensive tackles like they did in the past. So it's not a huge concern. But again, they got some more money. You know, I know Curl is probably going to get a deal. But, you know, I'd like to see some of these veterans brought in. I'm a big proponent of bringing in, you know, veteran, you know, journeymen, because I think that they can make a big impact sometime at camp, even if they don't make the team at the end. Sometimes they're enough to push guys like, you know, Mathis and Ridgeway, you know, because that's what I want to see. Because you're talking about behind them, nobody's pushing behind them. And I'd be surprised if you're talking about them playing like 30-40% of the snaps and, you know, taking some of the heat off of Allen and Payne. But in the preseason, they're going to get a chance to play a lot. So to me, and I'll reserve my, you know, absolute judgment, because that's what I want to see. I want to see Mathis be anchoring in the preseason. So, but in the end, I think that Del Rio, I've seen this morph of philosophy, which I call them a dinosaur forever, but I'm seeing this morph of philosophy. You know, we'll talk about the defensive backs, you know, later on this month, but that's what has me excited, because I think what they're able to do with all these defensive backs, you know, Percy Butler is really standing out in camp as long as the rookies. So I think that's going to allow them a lot more freedom, maybe to get, you know, more athleticism up front. Like, again, we talked about KJ Henry. I think that they have a plan to get him in a lot on passing situations, because I think that that's, you know, maybe taking, you know, an Allen or Payne off certain situations, which is crazy to think, but, you know, that might be an opportunity for them to mix it up. So I think that they'll have a lot of leeway. Defensive tackle won't be huge, but I always like to see, you know, more competition brought in.
I'd like to see some more competition brought in too, to your point, Adam. And there are a lot of good D tackles and DN still out there on the market. I saw the Bills just signed Leonard Floyd the other day for a 1-year deal. And I kind of liked what that makes them look like as far as being able to be flexible. If they play more, and they did a bunch of this actually last year with the 5-man defensive front, who plays linebacker then? Jamin stays on every down. So you do like a 5-1-5. Is that Jamin stays?
Yeah, I think
I'd say so.
Yeah, they like that kid with Seattle. You know, one thing about what Barton is his name, right? Yeah, that's the one thing they liked about him. If you look towards, you know, the end of the year when he got more of the, you know, Mike duties, they had him rushing the passer. So, you know, granted he had some, you know, good reps in coverage. You know, he actually, I think, was 3.5 sacks or 3 sacks. You know, he actually looked good. So I think, you know, having him in that kind of situation, you know, and allowing him to use his length, because if anything, you're not just talking about sacks. Like, the dude's like 6'3 plus, you know, getting his long arms up. I think that's another reason they love Forbes, because I think we're going to see a record amount of tip balls from this defense this year. I think that's something that all of these guys can do across the board, and they'll be able to have some leeway like that.
And that defensive front there on the line, they get a lot of tip balls too.
A lot.
They did last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot. They'll be able to mix it up. Like we talked about, you know, I'm not sure if the kid from Louisiana, the 7th round, is going to see much play this year, but again, he was 6 years at Louisiana. You know, he really, you know, paid his bones. And the last 2 years, he looked like a guy that is exciting in a rushing outside, a lot of length, 6'6", you know, good speed, good bend. So I think that Del Rio wants to find ways to get a lot of these guys in. I don't think he wants to have his defensive tackles playing, you know, 90% of the snaps. I think he wants to feel comfortable. But again, you know, with, you know, I think after they lost Ioannidis and
Settle.
You know, it was a big drop off. You know, Mathis is still a work in progress, and Ridgeway was a pleasant surprise. So, you know, they still have a long way to go there.
Is this the best position group on the team, George?
Are we talking collectively with the defense ends as well, with Sweat and Young?
Yeah, we'll do ends and tackles together, the defensive line.
Yeah, I'd say so. Because I think we were talking about it offline. I think like the true studs on the team, right, are Terry McLaurin, Jonathan Allen, and Deron Payne. Those are the true tier one players on our team. So if two of our four starters are some of our best players on our team, I would argue that. I think the next position would probably be wide receiver group. I'm really high on them as well. And I think our safeties are it's funny. I want to see how they can continue and have that consistency, but like they have high upside. Like I'm a big Derek Forrest guy. I like him a lot. Cameron Curl's a pretty solid player as well, as we know. I'm really trying to see how Percy Butler develops. So that's going to be intriguing. But right now on day one, our consistency, and as they should be, there a lot of first round picks are there. A lot of money's invested in our first round picks on the defensive line. So I think they are.
You think the same thing, Adam? That's the best position group on the team?
Payne, Allen, Sweat probably trump every other position, you know, collectively. But again, I really like the DBs. You talked about the safeties, you know, Quan Martin, yeah. He's a nickel and he's a safety. He's going to see significant time there. So the DB group is probably the deepest, in my opinion, that it's been in years. And that's including, you know, the safeties. But overall talent, yeah, it's not even a question. It's the defensive line right now.
And the depth, you know, it's interesting as we do these, and that's kind of why we do these, is I guess I thought that we had better depth at defensive tackle. I am now intrigued as we go through this exercise that I really thought that it was the depth at defensive tackle, and it's not. It's probably more depth at the end position.
That's a good point. Yeah. I agree with that, actually. It's a good point because we do have KJ Henry and Casey Tuhill there. The Phil Mathis Ridgeway depth is pretty solid, but you're right. If one of those go down and we're starting to see those other guys come in, like, I mean, we haven't even seen them play before, so it is definitely a concern.
But you have Henry and Tony. Those are the only two defensive ends under contract next year. So that's true. That's going to be a big consideration. Like Tony, I'm a little surprised they haven't cut him. I don't know how the rules work with this kind of suspension, but I'm surprised that they don't, because I don't see a spot for him now. I think kind of Henry kind of came in and took that right away, probably more some. So I think that, you know, your defensive tackle depth is decent right now, but the defensive end, you know, this time next year, it's going to look way different. So that's why I'm saying I hope they're not done yet, because there is guys still in the market, because again, we're putting a lot of stock that, you know, Chase Young is going to be able to give them significant snaps and, you know, eclipse that 60% range. And again, I'll wait and see kind of thing right now.
Would you be interested in trading Young for, say, the second if it got offered? It makes more sense to trade Young for a second and then sign a guy like Ngakoue, who's still out on the open market. I think that might be an interesting way to go. I don't think it will happen. Right. I think a lot of that's probably more about ownership stuff than it is anything else, because you're talking about major decisions in a former number two overall pick. But there's a couple of guys on that Ngakoue level, right, that could be had on a one-year deal that probably don't cost you a ton, and then maybe you can still get your value out of Sweat, Chase Young.
Right. Yeah, Harris is a great – that's the thing. I do expect him to come in, and I don't think it'll be a slow process. I think right away he's going to want to make his mark immediately this year. So I think – that, you know, he's shown, at least, you know, with the 76ers, I don't follow the Devils too much, but I did see, you know, from day one when he bought the 76ers, you know, he was always trying to make moves. He wasn't scared to, you know, anytime there was overpaid guys, he'd move them. So I don't think Young is not somebody he selected. So I don't think, you know, as granted, he's a number two overall pick, but somehow if you can get a high offer and then, you know, parlay that into next year, because also the thought's going to be down the road, you know, if Hal doesn't work out, you want to have as many of those, you know, early day two picks as possible to be able to hopefully get some ammunition to move up one of these quarterbacks, because it's not just Caleb Williams. There is, you know, three or four, you know, top level quarterbacks that are going to be available in the top 10 in this draft. And as we keep seeing, Washington, even a down year for them, they're still in that 15-16 range when draft time comes. So it's going to be a move for the future. Like, how much do they think he can impact? You know, maybe if Henry just starts really looking really good in preseason, I think I could see a scenario where ownership comes in and, you know, they might be comfortable with moving him. But I think there's just not enough tape on Young showing that he's progressed for a team willing to, it's a 1 year rental at this point, you know, give anything significant. So I think who you see is who, for the most part, you're going to get.
And to that point, to kind of back it up, I have a really good friend who's a diehard New Jersey Devils fan. We talked about it before. They completely liquidated the New Jersey Devils. When he took over the team, they basically sent away all the high draft, you know, all the veterans that are had high contracts and were fan favorites and things of that nature, and completely let them go for future draft capital. Right. And I think for like 5 years in a row or something absurd like that, they had multiple first-round picks to rebuild the team. They even had like a top two pick, top three, maybe the number one overall pick altogether, who's now the face of the franchise. Right. He's the face of the NHL, so he's a stud attacker on the New Jersey Devils now. So that is intriguing to me. I do think that there's no attachment. There's no emotional attachment to anybody on the team. I think he wants to get the team, with Harris coming over. And I think he will be financially sound with the way he builds a team. So you never know. I mean, for me, I guess there is an emotional attachment to Chase Young because I do want to see it through. I want to see how he goes. But honestly, you're right, though, Doug. If you get a second-round pick and you get a comparable veteran to come in and kind of play for a third of the price, that is forward thinking, right? It's kind of a smarter method. So maybe that does happen. I don't know.
Well, it also keeps you from having to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you give Montez Sweat a big contract, if he balls out, if he pulls a Payne, and you're what, at $22-23 million a year, probably, is what a guy that's getting over, getting double digit sacks. And the tag, I think, is 20. So again, I know the numbers can work, but to pay four guys on the defensive line around $20 million is really not where you want to be at, even if you're not having to pay the rest of the defense a ton of money, just purely in the way, philosophically, the way you build teams. I don't mind the idea that your best defensive linemen are now interior linemen, because I kind of feel like that's where the league is moved a little bit. Like, let's get these faster, quicker guys in the middle and beat up on centers and guards that may not be, as physically gifted as the tackles, which I think you're going to see guards getting better and more nimble and more athletic as we talk about the defensive tackles doing. So the one thing about trading Young now is it alleviates making a decision that would be tough a year from now. Imagine if Chase Young had a great year and you just move on from him and the fan base goes crazy. Right, Adam. So I mean, I think that's another way of kind of looking forward on this thing,
for sure,
is alleviating crazy decisions now.
Let me throw a question now, because I'm kind of getting the vibe from Adam. I guess, Doug, I'll throw it to you. Maybe Adam can jump on it as well. On a scale from 1 to 10, like, what is your thought on basically Chase Young having a breakout year? Do you think he's going to bounce back? Like, what's your confidence level on that? Doug, I guess I'll start with you.
Oh, a 5.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I'm at it like at a 6 myself, because again, this is still a significant injury, and I think spending all the time he's still rehabbing, still dealing with that. And again, I think with pain and Sweat, the difference I've seen is their off-season work on their counters. It's night and day from what we saw from their first 2 years. And Young, like I said, I just don't know if he's open enough to that. Everything I keep hearing, he loves that stutter step move. He loves what got him here. So, that's the kind of thing that stops great players from really, ascending from great player in college to great in the NFL. So, again, even injury aside, I'm just not sure that I see him having that kind of year. I think Sweat's going to have the breakout year, because I just like how he carries himself. I think he's bought into it. That's what it comes down to. He's bought into it. I don't think Chase Young has bought into it.
And to that point, I've heard that Montez Sweat actually plays, like, him and Jonathan Allen have a good dynamic on the field. They've talked about how they work well off each other. So I do see that. Let me throw one more question out there, Doug, if you don't mind. Who do you
like, real quick before you do, George, what's your comfort level?
I'm at the same ballpark as you. I think I'm a little bit higher. I think maybe like 6.5. I think I think that's going to be, that was going to be my follow-up question. I think Chase Young is probably going to get to like 8.5, 9 sacks. He's going to have a decent, solid year. I don't think he's ever going to be 15 sack kind of guy. I think maybe when he hits, it's going to be maybe a 12 sack kind of year, something like of that nature. I can expect 8 or 9 this year. And I was going to ask you guys, do you think that is good enough? Like, would you potentially re-sign Chase Young if he had an 8 or 9 sack year? Would that not be very, that wouldn't be good enough for you? Well, how do you guys feel about that?
Well, here's the other thing. If we're talking about Montez Sweat having a breakout year, and let's say that's 11 or 12 sacks.
Okay.
And Jonathan Allen is good for his 8 or 9, and Deron Payne is good for 10 or 11 again. Like, where are the sacks for Chase Young?
Right.
That's the only problem with having 4 quote unquote great defensive linemen that are all trying to get to the quarterback is that, I mean, there's only so many dropbacks and sacks available. I think that also works against Chase Young as far as getting to that number that he'd need to get paid. Now, maybe it's him and not Sweat. But I don't think there's a world in which both ends are getting 10, 11, 12 sacks simply because I just don't see where they come from. Because there, you know, there's going to be other guys out there. He'll be on the sideline some of the times when you're rushing the passer. Jamin Davis will get a couple of sacks. You know, Casey Tuhill, I think, was good for 4 sacks last year. So, like, that's my thing. Not his talent level is not what I expected it to be when he was drafted 2nd overall. And I just wonder where the production will come from.
I think it has to be impact plays. I know, like, we talk about sacks, especially when we talk about defensive ends, but I think in the modern NFL, exactly, we're seeing a lot more focus on the defensive tackles. And I think a lot of defensive ends, you know, they're getting, I don't know about phased out, but the thought is, you know, more replaceable. For him to separate, like you said, 9, 10 sacks, it's not enough. For Sweat, I think it is, because he has impact all over the field. That speed, Young just doesn't have that speed. You know, we're talking about on run plays, you know, Sweat chasing down people from behind. Yeah. Young has to have those plays. We have to talk, you know, 5, 6 forced fumbles. Impact game plays. To me, that's the only, it's that or 15 sack plus a year, like just domination. Yeah. Sweat doesn't have to have that season because I think he's been consistent. Young does, because Young hasn't been consistent. So, you know, in that rookie year, you could really argue that, you know, a lot of good plays, you know, his teammates put him in good position. You know, a lot of the plays were forced his way. So, you know, I think when Harris comes in, you know, it's pretty easy. There's not a ton of film to really break down with Young. But then when you look at Sweat, just the consistency, that's what you like to, you know, pay guys in. And, you know, we talk about Curl consistency. When he's not playing, you know, this team is nowhere as good. You know, I think it was a difference of 1-5 to 6-1 when Curl wasn't with the team. So it's about impact. And right now, Young hasn't shown that he can be that guy. And I honestly, personally, in this system, I don't think that's what they're looking for. I think he fits probably a different kind of mold. I think they're trying to get faster. They're trying to get quicker. And that's not what Young is.
He could be. The explosion wasn't there last year. Now, maybe, yeah. I think the injury was worse than people thought it was and gave it credit for. So apparently the explosion is a little bit more noticeable in camp this year. George, does it bother you that he still got a brace on the knee?
Not during training camp. You know, if we're just kind of getting the reps right now, I'm just getting the practice during the summertime, I don't see it as an issue. And honestly, nowadays with NFL technology and, you know, with honestly just – you know, technology and medical things all together, that brace is probably featherweight, carbon fiber, pretty late on him anyway. It's not even a big deal. So if he feels that he needs that extra protection, I'm not too worried about it right now.
Adam, is Sweat a better run defender? Because in my mind, he is.
Yeah, like I said, it's that's what the difference that separates them. He's all over the field. He's chasing guys from down.